Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is August 12th, and the Yankees have won 3 of 4 from the Texas Rangers, the baseball team. 3 games, they won 3, they lost 1. Things are looking good again. The team's playing well again, winning games they should win. Let's talk Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy, John Boy and Jake. Recaps galore and weekly awards. Stat lines, steaming hot takes. Get your Yankees news with these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks. Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John Boy and Jake.
I want a stand-up desk.
Don't. You think you want a stand-up desk, but you don't.
I want one that you can stand up and sit down.
Right. I mean, Your stand-up percentage would be like 10%.
It would be while I record.
No way.
Yeah, because I want it to be energetic.
Stand the whole time while we talk to each other? Know how weird that is?
And I would think I'd go an hour on, hour off. Well, thank you very much for joining. If you're just listening, I want a stand-up desk. Maybe I'll put the Patreon money to a stand-up desk for both of us. Save our backs. I don't even know if you have a desk. But thank you very much for joining. This is Talking Yanks. I'm your host, John Boy, and Jake is my co-host. He's in Denver. And this episode is brought to you by Zachary Bath.
Nice.
Artie Cruz and Jeremy Castro. Those are our 3 most recent Patreon subscribers. You can sponsor the very next episode by subscribing to our patron. $2 a month, which is $24 a year, helps us out. You get early access, video access, and you get your name put in a raffle at the end of each month to win a Yankees jersey with no name on the back from affordablejerseys.com. I'm coming to you from New Jersey. Jake, you're in Denver. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. Had a pretty quiet weekend. Hung out, watched some Yanks. This just keeps happening. Like the one night I truly line up to watch a Yankee game, like I've got it. I've just got it all in check. I've taken care of the dog. Food's ready to go. Whatever it is, whenever I've done that this year, it's been a bad game so far. Friday night, the tough game for the Yanks in this series, I was like, yes, this is my Friday night. I'm going to be locked in. And then they kind of shat the bed for me there. Besides that, good weekend.
Yeah, a lot of good games. I was just grinning ear to ear. I'm going to turn off my TV. For anyone that likes golf, Tiger Woods just put one on the lip of the cup and then it refused to fall in.
Yeah,
and he was like bent over crying sad. And if you're like, I love seeing Tiger get really, really close and then lose it. That's like what I like. I don't like rooting for him to win. I like rooting for him to get close. So it's interesting and then lose it. It's perfect for me. Back to Yankees.
Right.
I had a nice quiet weekend. We're in a house with like family and brother, and my brother went to his friends, and it was just me and Katie in the house. And dude, I got to tell you, this sounds rude to anyone in my life that I hang out with, but when I get a Sunday day game and I just watch it alone, I make the videos and the GIFs and hang out, and then we go straight into recording this, that's like such a mood booster that when they lose on those days, it just sends me into like a divot of depression. So I'm so up and happy. I poured myself another coffee because when I'm happy, I just want to keep with the caffeine. So that's my state of mind. I'm coming on the podcast today. I'm a ball of joy.
Yeah, you are. It's a little too much for me right now. It's not that hyper crazy coffee, Jimmy, we saw. I'm glad that guy's been missing.
It's always too much for you. But hey, the Yanks are looking good and they need to look good. They went 6-1 since the Boston series, but Red Sox also went 6-1, so we didn't gain any ground. But hey, I've given up on that. You know, you don't watch Band of Brothers. There's this scene in Band of Brothers where Blythe is really scared to fight in battle and he's really scared of war. And it's like the most famous scene. Lieutenant Spear says to him, the only way you can function as a soldier is to know you're already dead. And once you accept that you're already dead, then you'll be able to act the way you should act on a battlefield. Yankees fan, the division, the Red Sox, that's gone. Let's win games. Let's secure top wild card spot. And let's make sure everyone's going good, and let's crush that game. And that's what we're doing. And I said it last episode, if September comes and we look up and we're within 4-5 games, then I will change my stance. But as of now, people keep sending me the Red Sox score. Yo, out of my face. I'm just done with it. We just got to win games.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think you're – it's a little – you said a couple things I really like, a couple things I'm not in love with. It's still, because if you're fully playing for the wild card, it's a different mentality. It's just win games. Like, you've lost the privilege.
Yeah, there's
to
no
track
such thing as playing
Sox
for the wild
games.
Card up until 1 week out.
But I don't know if we want to start
win
with
games.
This. But I mean, do we want to have some lineup talk off the bat? Because this kind, in my head, that's a conversation that's tied to what you just said.
So you think the resting guys and all that is because they're just saving people to get... Dude, I don't know. This is what we said on the first... We said at the halfway break, we were fine with all the resting people as long as it meant in the second half, it was like, okay, go time. All our good players are going to play. And now we're here in the second half, and it's just not that. We're still resting people. We did go 6-1 or whatever, like, in these games, so we are winning. But, yeah, every time the lineup comes out, it's just like, oh, my God.
And Shane Robinson's a starter.
But, I mean, there is a reason for that one, that Giancarlo is strictly a DH right now.
Right, but we never – so we unveiled right fielder Neil Walker this week, which is fine. But we still – was today the first day that Shane Robinson sat in what, like 7 games or something?
Something like that, yeah. Shane, dude, and it's really funny because we're obviously winning, and he's not really hurting the team
right
these last couple games. But so all the people that are like worried about feelings and stuff, and oh, stop complaining. It's like, no, I mean, like, Shane Robinson shouldn't be starting games.
Yeah, I mean, and it's. So you've already made the commitment, or it's been discussed that Neil Walker was going to get some run in right field, sure. So they finally roll it out there, and then that's the day they bench Hicks in center field, who I think you'd want Hicks in center field for that game. And even if it wasn't, I think you'd want Guardy in center, and they put Robinson in center. Like, I don't know. It's just tough. And again, the game the Yankees did lose, they gave up 12 runs. So again, it's not like we're just pigeonholing our one loss this week on Shane Robinson. But I mean, there had to be, it was the feeling online that day, which again, that's a lame statement of itself. But if you're the players and you're looking at that lineup, it's like, come on, like, why are we resting someone every day? If you, this was my favorite, follow me at Talking Jake. No, I think the best thing I tweeted this weekend was, yeah, like, there's obviously stuff to getting rest and keeping players rested and building towards the year-end goal and all that. I get that. And they have sports science stuff where they can actually measure, like, how exhausted your body is, all of that. That's great. And you could do that if you have Judge, Gary, and Stanton in the lineup, and you can kind of mess with the ancillary pieces and switch guys in and out, get them a day off, and then get one of the big guys a day off here and there. But right now we don't have that. Like, resting Aaron Hicks in that game, I'm sorry. Like, that just, why? Yeah. And then it sends me on a slippery slope, because it's like, okay, well, did that kind of mess with the guys' morale that day? They're looking around like, why aren't we rolling out our best lineup? Guy, Neil Walker went homer from both sides of the plate the night before and gets benched. Bird has a 2-for-4 day and he gets benched. Like, I'm sorry. And now I'm complaining during the 6-1 streak, but it has to be discussed.
It's weird, but they're winning, but it's weird. I mean, Voit, did you hear Kay, like, went into the media room? I did a video on it. My new favorite thing is I make videos on the reporting. One guy always tweets me, like, you're reporting on the reporting. Great. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of being an ass. Yeah. But Kay went into the press conference and asked Boone. Rarely does Kay go down there and ask questions. He says, do you believe in hot? Do you guys just not believe in hot? And Boone laughed in his face saying, like, Bird's hot because he had one good game. which, yeah, that's right. good. But also, like, you know, Bird should have played. He said they want to keep Voit relevant. It's like, why? Who the fuck cares? Voit isn't the starter, or it might not even be long for this team down the stretch. Like, in a month, is Voit around?
Yeah, let's
who
do
knows?
The
is
let's
Bird
do,
around? Yeah,
let's,
so
let's do the Voit
play
thing.
Bird and get him hot. Who's out there going, yo, you got to keep Voit relevant?
Let's go. Yeah, I guess we'll get all the negative stuff out of the way to start.
It's a weird way to start. Well, I was so hyped up.
But no,
this is
a positive spin on the Voit stuff, because obviously you and me were a little befuddled by Voit. we got some people on Twitter cussing out the nerds because that's the only reason this guy could be playing. Like, you just kept saying it the best way. Aaron Boone isn't going to bat for Voit. Like, he's never seen this guy play. They're just like, oh, this guy's a righty. He's pretty good. He can play some 1B. Like, okay. Yeah. I guess we'll see. Here's where this was one of my not moments of levity. That's really weird. But so Tyler Austin, who we traded for Lance Lynn, who we'll talk about.
Just hit a homer.
Good. You know, if he was starting and playing for us right now, I don't think we'd be complaining about his starts in the lineup. I sent this to you. You know, because he's been around the team. He's done some good. It is what it is. So now spinning back, so they knew they were going to move Tyler Austin to get Lance Lynn. So they go out and get Voit, who, you know, he had some AAA numbers trending well. We saw him in right field a little bit, which I think the Yankees were scared to do with Tyler Austin. So basically the Yankees, so any of the Voit stuff in your head, replace his name with Tyler Austin and then describe your emotions.
But
the
Tyler Austin
the
has
Yankees,
10 home runs on the year and, like, decent numbers, albeit if you pick them apart, they're not that impressive. Voit has a 308 on base percentage and one home run and zero doubles on the year. So they're
right.
not the same guy.
Right, and that's – but
– which is also why we had to move Austin, because we got a better return.
Right, and you have to go – so now you have to go into the front office. They wanted to go and get a guy for cheap that could be Tyler Austin with potentially better results, potentially worse results, but they went out and got that guy, and they're going with it. So I don't know. That's just kind of a way my brain is managing it, saying, if this was Tyler Austin, would I be complaining about these at-bats? And, like, I wouldn't be stoked about them, but I wouldn't be mad. So it just kind of is what it is. You kind of have to, if you're in cash we trust, this is the guy they went out to get to take these at bats.
The whole, like, Bird had two hits, two doubles after not looking good. Sure, as a team, as an analytics department, you can say, well, we believe in matchups, and that they're saying, well, it's a tough matchup for him, so we don't think, if we had an off day, he wouldn't play, and then the hot streak would continue. So we're just going to not allow this pitcher to ruin this potential hot streak. That's, like, their presentation of it, or their mindset.
Right.
But if you're Bird, no, dude, I just went 2-for-4 with two doubles. I needed that really bad. Play me. Like, how do you explain that to the player?
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
How is a player happy?
That's how players must... I mean, it must be full buy-in and say, hey, you know, we obviously there's stuff to the sabermetrics. I mean, you Michael Kay explaining shifts to everyone on TV for 2 hours a game. It's a tough thing to kind of wrap your head around. So I think they must have, if you're on this Yankees team, you have to be bought in on that.
Yeah, I guess.
And
so.
they must, a lot of young guys that have come up through the organization. So that's, again, you must be preaching that organizationally, and if you join the team, that's part of your thing now, too. So, all right. All that's out.
We talked about the lineup. It's befuddling and annoying, but they won, so is what it is. I mean, in the future, once we get healthy, I just want our starters. Like you kept saying to me, play your best players.
And it's... So, and we did miss, I think we skipped over it. Stanton has a tight hamstring, if you don't know that.
Yeah, so he's
so they don't,
only,
so,
which excuses
so he's
the Shane Robinson.
DH, yeah.
It excuses that Shane Robinson has to play in every game, but then the bigger question is, okay, well, how come we weren't more prepared for this? It could have been a lot of other guys. Clint's hurt, Jacoby's out, but you knew Jacoby was out. Kind of knew Clint was hurt. Why didn't you go get someone? Maybe he tried. The prices were wrong. Maybe they're going to bring someone in soon. With Judge looking a little further back than we thought and Stan staying I mean, you cannot risk playing Stanton in the field and losing him to a pulled hamstring.
No.
Like, it's kind of scary. Like, I'd tell Stanton to go base to base.
Yeah.
Because you cannot risk losing Stanton.
Let's talk about winning.
Let's talk about winning. Let's burn game one. Are you ready? If you're a new listener, we get so many new listeners every episode, I got to explain it over and over and over again.
Mm.
If you're a new listener, Jake's going to burn the game. It's where he tells you really quickly what happened in the game, a minute on the clock. If he goes over a minute, he has to dump a water bottle over his own head on air. Here we go. Minute on the clock. Are you ready to burn?
What was that last part?
On your mark, get set, burn.
Game one, Ariel Jurado, that's fun to say, versus Jay Happ. First game of the four-game set. Good to see you, Jay, after hand, foot, and mouth disease. How about that? Pixie baby, what's your story? Where you come from and where you want to go? Two-run shot. Ooh, little Chili Peppers early. 2-0 Yanks. Top four, Little League World Series star Jurickson Profar home run. Yanks 2-1. The Yanks would counterpunch in the bottom of the inning. Get to the choppa now. Andujar, two-run homer. And then, oh, daddy, Disco Neal going back-to-back. Chin-choo-choo. Two RBI double. It's 5-3 Yanks into the bottom of the fifth. Good Lord, Giancarlo. Hardest hit ball recorded by StatCast ever. Excuse me? Solo shot followed by Neal again in the sixth from both sides of the dish. Swoon. That would lead to your final score. It would be 7-3 Yankees. Happ gets the W. Happ to Robertson, Betances, Chapman.
Nice way to start it.
You liked it? I tried to work in a lot that burn.
One note, StatCast is a bag of shit. Actually, probably not an exit velocity, because that seems like, how could you mess that up? But their distances.
Right.
Every time Neil put one just over the wall, and they were 40 feet different than where, like, we know it landed because we have a measurement and it landed right by the measurement.
Right.
Every time that happens, StatCast is glaringly wrong. But if Judge hits one 100 rows deep, we have no measurement. So we're just like, okay, we believe him. But, I mean, if you believe StatCast distances, you're very naive. Bag of shit. Anyway, good game. Jay Happ with a nice win. Was there any moves? Like, Jay Happ with a quality start. Robertson looked good. Betances good. Chapman scared us a little with the walks. It was pouring rain.
And no, it's crazy. This was...
No, that was game three with the pouring rain.
Yeah. So this was Happ making his return. And I mean, it's been Lance Lynn sanity that we've been discussing recently. But this... And call me biased because he's our guy now. I think this was like Lance or Jay Happ didn't have his best stuff.
He, I don't know.
He only made two mistakes. The Profar home run and the Chu double, which sounds obvious. Those are the two Ranger scoring plays. But he was six innings pitch, four hits, one walk, nine Ks. And I think, like I've been trying to say, that Jay Happ's baseline, like Jay Happ's bad start, is still a pretty good start for this Yankees team. And I don't know, man. I think we're gonna be rolling with him just because he can do his thing and get through it. And I don't know, if you're an opposing team and Happ's on the mound, I don't think your mindset is like, oh, let's get to this guy. It's kind of like, hey, we're going to have a couple chances. We better take advantage, because otherwise, with the Yankees behind him, I don't know. I think he's going to rack up wins. Biased. A little biased.
I hope you're right. I really do.
He looked good, though.
How about Disco Neal? I mean, two home runs, both sides of the plate, right after you said on the podcast that he's awful from the right side of the plate. He'd never get it hit, and you'd bet your grandma's life on it.
No,
and then he
I
does.
Didn't say
it's
that.
A home run.
I didn't
so,
say that.
In your face.
I didn't say any of that. Yeah, man, it was awesome. I've been getting a lot of Disco Neal love on Twitter. I'm happy for him. He's a pro. The Yankees stuck with him. You've seen a lot of those quotes coming out. So yeah, you know, you go home run from both sides of the plate. He was the first guy to do that. Was it Swisher or Tex? I forget what they were saying.
They're like, I think they just said you don't see that often. We've seen it from Swisher. We've seen it from Tex.
Bernie, but yeah, man. And so yeah, bench him the next day. Why not?
He had a stiff neck and he was a little sick, but then he came out the next day.
Yeah. Well, he Well, I saw some rumors on the internet.
The ones that you started that he went out on a bender?
No. I just saw those on the internet.
Had a lot of juice, got a sugar up.
He either went on a crazy bender or I think he hooked up with Boone's wife.
She was a playboy playmate.
Not starting that rumor. That's
just
the
mother of
Aaron's
kids. Don't be a jerk.
Well, why was he benched, man? Why was he benched?
All right, let's go on to game two. We got four games to get through today. Game two. Is this the non-fun one? Yeah, this is the non-fun one.
This will essentially be a punt, but I'll have some fun with it still.
Okay, you ready? Game two in the Bronx. Yanks took game one. Let's see what happens with game two. For all of you that didn't watch it and missed it, here you go. One, two, three, burn.
Tanaka Tuesday on a Friday night versus Mike Minor on the hill for the Texas Ranger. We'd exchange zeros until the fourth. Adrian Beltre punching his Hall of Fame ticket. No, he's done that for the past 20 years. But a two-run homer, and then that's followed by Guzman. Who is this guy? Yankee killer. Guzman goes solo shot, 3-0. Into the fifth, Andrus doubles to right. It's 5-0. Everyone's looking around. Tanaka, you've been our rock for a little bit. Guardy home run. Okay. Everyone starts looking at each other a little bit. When can we have our magic moment? It's not today. Guzman homers again, 6-1. Odor, oh, what's that smell? 8-1. 6, Andrus with another RBI single. It's 9-1, top six. Just all the steam has left the stadium, or has it? Andujar, crown rule double, okay. Voit, my man, the Nerds win. 2 RBI single, it's 9-4. Everyone looking around, where's the magic? Where's the magic? Guzman, another homer. 10-4, 3-homer game. The first time his dad watched him play in the MLB. That's a story. Romine homers, so much heart. 10-5, Beltre double the deep. It's 12-5. The final would be 12-7. Tanaka gets shelled. Cole and Green get roughed up. Just no excitement before the game, no excitement during the game.
Remove Tough. You, Jake, and me, and all listeners, remove your Yankee fanhood and your rooting interest in this game.
Okay.
Be a non-biased observer. Guzman hitting 3 home runs the first game his dad watches him as a big leaguer. That'd make me cry if you tell me on the right day.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome. I wish it wasn't against us. But that is like a fantastic baseball story.
I cried today. Why did I cry too?
Why did you cry to his Ice Age on?
No, I woke up to the wedding from The Office, the wedding episode.
Oh.
Like part two. Just a lot of emotions, you know. Jim and Pam, you know how that goes.
Tanaka didn't have it. Cole didn't have it. Tanaka didn't have it, obviously, is terrible. But if Cole was to give us what he's given us, we would have mounted a comeback, maybe.
Yeah, and it's the other, if you want to start.
That sounds like I'm putting it on Cole. I'm not at all. I'm just saying. Like two things happened bad. The offense was trying.
And I mean, if you want to throw a question mark out there, Tanaka gives up the second home run, top six to Guzman, the third home run he's given up. And then I think he gets pulled after that, right? Was that
he had a rough fifth inning, and then Boone sent him out for the sixth inning to try and get more length from him.
Right.
But it's like the first pitch he gave up a home run, I think, or first batter. That confused me, Boone, because.
Yeah, and then he gets subbed out right after giving that up.
In the Boston game, really Tanaka got pulled before the fifth inning ended because, you know, it was a close game and shit. And went to the bullpen because he was in, like, we need to win this game mode versus Boston. But Tanaka was pitching really, really well, got pulled before the fifth inning. Here he's pitching terrible, and you send him out for the sixth. Just kind of, like, that was the bad. Just let Cole get the fresh inning.
And that's where there's mixed vibes that, I do love the analytics stuff. I play my nerdy little baseball game that's kind
of
run
of the
by
park
that.
Baseball?
Yeah. Oopa, I call it, out of the park baseball. And I love that stuff, and it totally has a factor. But it does feel like the Yankees are, like, pushing the limits, right? Like, I don't know. At a certain point, like, let's do baseball. Let's play a couple of the hot guys and see what lands. But I don't know. I think a little bit of the analytics, and this is tying into the Red Sox stuff to start this, it feels like you're not giving your team the best chance to win every game. Is that unfair?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that that was a bad decision by Boone.
And you're right. Like, that's totally contradicting. You're going to empower Tanaka to start the fifth when you're down four runs, but you're not going to give him that last batter in Boston. And I don't know, man. A guy hits two home runs the night before and has been your hottest hitter since the All-Star break. Throw him in the lineup. I don't really care where.
Talking
about
Walker?
Put him in the lineup. Yeah, man.
Well, they said his neck was hurt and he was sick. So if you believe that, that's actually a reason. But, I mean, I don't really.
He played the two games around it. Yeah, I don't know. That's
It's not like, because you might be thinking, well, maybe they just said that at the end of the second game because they got so much backlash that they were like, actually, this is why he sat, because it got so much backlash. But they've been pretty stubborn with their moves and not really, like, defending themselves. And there's been a ton that everyone gets on them. So I got to believe his neck was sore and he was a little sick.
If you were going to make up, like, a fake injury because you already decided you were going to bench Neil Walker the next day, I don't know. A little neck stiffness and a little sick. That's one where everyone's like, oh, okay. So
I thought you were going to ask me to make up, what would my made-up injury be?
No.
What would yours be?
For, like, missing one game?
Yeah.
I like stiff neck. I think that's a strong play.
Because broken pinky finger.
Everyone's woken up with, like, a stiff neck, and you kind of do that, like, wow, this would be tough if I had to do this today. So I think that's a good get out of jail free. Like, oh yeah, he got a good night's sleep. Neck's feeling better. He's back.
Yo, you can do that. That's actually crazy. Like,
right?
You can sleep wrong, and then your neck just like how could I do anything right now? That happened to me. I think I was talking about it on the podcast. I had a pinched nerve, and then we got into a whole talk about how we sleep.
How's that going? Are you okay?
Yeah, it's good. It was because I slept on a different side of my body for the first time in like 2 years. Neck was like,
you're
dude,
better.
Don't fucking do that.
That's always a fun game. I feel like this is an annual thing. I don't know if this will start popping up on the podcast, but like picturing your everyday injuries, like jamming a toe pretty good, and then like picture playing Major League Baseball or something, that would kind of suck. You're walking around with just like a little limp.
What was your? Do you have an everyday injury today? I had crippling heartburn. Been chewing Tums like crazy.
Right, but you could do that and kind of get through it. I don't know, like my shoulder doesn't feel great.
All right, let's burn game three.
Game three, okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so. This is we'll not fully prepared, so we'll see. We'll actually see Jakey's brain live on this one.
It's your job to be prepared,
which is scary.
All right, here we go. Game three, on your mark. Get set, burn.
Game three, an old friend, Drew Hutchinson, who's made the round in the AL East, against Lance Lynn. Linsanity taking off in the Bronx. He's coming off of a loss again. Is he the hero we deserve? Spoiler, he kind of is. Oh, noodle doodle. Stanton, homers to left in the first. Remember that for tomorrow's game. Greg Bird with a two-out RBI double. That was big. Felt the monkey come off his back a little bit. Let's jump to the third. Andrews, RBI single. Lance Lynn didn't have his best stuff in this day. He was grinding. But bottom six, Neil Walker, single to left. Oh, wow, play your best players. Bird scores. It's 3-1. Top seven, we got the bullpen in. Zach Britton, not making friends in the Bronx. Walks in Beltre to score a run. Odor scores on a balk from Betances. What is happening? Where is this best pen in baseball? Andujar shuts him up. Miguel Andujar, two-run homer, bottom seventh. Big exhale in the Bronx. Chapman comes in to close it down late. Final score, 5-3. Yankees win.
This was another one of those games where you're like, okay, we're a little upset, but there's more positives. Because the only negative really is Britton. Like, what's going on with Britton?
And, dude, it was hopefully I won't keep reverting back to this after you hear what I'm about to say. But I mentioned it last series that the Yankees are looking for. I don't want to say magic because that sounds corny, and I just said I like geeks in baseball, so I can't say magic. But just those, CeCe getting the last out in his last start against the Tigers, or
moment, just a moment. They're looking for a moment to push off on.
Zach Britton has been pitching pretty poorly for us. He loses the strike zone. He goes down 3-0, bases loaded, and you're just like, "Oh, guy, this like show us." Show us why you're Zach Britton. Show us why you're pitching right now. Show us why Cashman went out and got you. And then he fights back. He throws two nice pitches, full count. And then he throws a ball like almost in the dirt, loses Beltre, walks in a run. And you're just like, if Britton came back from that moment, like it would have been full 360. Like Yankee fans would have been like, yes, this guy's got some balls. We saw him go 3-0. He was in a real shitty position. And then what? He fought through it. Now we like that guy. You come up against a little adversity. No, he showed some balls, man. For a second. And if he struck out, if he got that last out, if he struck out Beltre coming back from 3-0, the Yankees would have been with him. And now he's back in the doghouse. There wasn't the magic again. I say that as Andujar just sprints towards that Rookie of the Year trophy. But, yeah, I don't know. Just like those Yankees magic moments. I'll exhale there because it's not a great statement. And Zach Britton walking in a run, I don't think will come up in a Yankees magic moments highlight reel. But it was close.
It's like his third walked in run or second. But... Batance is coming in, and then the balk is just like, I wish it wasn't so well known how he can't handle that. And like, did
right,
you see the
dude?
Replay of the balk? It's like
yeah.
a big knee wobble.
It's a big old
it's
balk.
Not like a little flinch. It's like, yeah, dude. And it's just so induced. Whatever, Batance is, I can't even get that upset about it because he's been dirty, and he finished a strikeout on the next pitch and came
yes.
back the next inning. He's been good.
And that was huge because, and dude, I guess we've been, this has been a little darker than we thought this episode would be. When I saw Dellin balk, I said this is going to put him in a slump for a month.
Yeah, like,
because
well,
that's the
yeah,
Dellin, that's the Dellin we've kind of come to know.
Yeah, and he bounced back like perfectly.
Yeah, and he bounced back, looked incredible, and that's, yeah, old Dellin Betances after he balks. Just starts throwing the ball everywhere. So yeah. That was kind of a positive. And yeah, dude, I think we're going to talk more about him. But, dude, huge home run from Andujar.
Oh, yeah. He'll get some love later on.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to game four, and then we'll get into awards.
Game four. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready? On your mark, get set, burn.
Couple southpaws on the hill for game four. Martin Perez versus the Cookie Monster. CC Sabathia. On a beautiful Sunday in the Bronx, hashtag CC Sundays. Psychedelic flashback, Giancarlo goes solo shot, bottom one, just like he did the day before. 1-0 Yanks all the way until the fifth. Aaron Hicks with a 2 RBI single, one for each A in his name. Andujar, fielder's choice, Hicks scores. Then Gregorius Didi with the 2-run homer and was also exemplary with the glove today. Couple plays you want to circle in the scorebook. Speaking of exemplary, CeCe was dealing. 6 innings pitch, 1 hit, 7 Ks, a Guardy RBI single. The Rangers push a couple runs across on Sonny Gray. Ugh. But the Yankees win. CeCe, Sonny to Holder. Ball game, 7-2 Yankees, taking 3 out of 4 from the Rangers. Let's go, Yanks.
Exactly what you needed on a Sunday to complete this, the series win. Nice Sunday. Getaway day is nice now. I don't even know if we're going anywhere, but just that is the game we needed from CeCe. It's the game we needed from the offense. That was, I don't want to say perfect because Sonny did mess up, but who cares about Sonny messing? I'd say it's like a perfect, nice Sunday win.
It was a nice Sunday win where, yeah, man, if the Yankees somehow lost this game, it's baseball. If the Yankees lost this game, I mean, just think about this. This podcast would be like a nightmare right now. We just split with the Rangers. We hate all the lineups. Like, this would be like a mean, angry podcast if we lost today.
Who's your least favorite player on the Rangers? Do you have any thoughts about them as a team? Chew was pretty annoying just because he would get on base. It was everywhere.
Chew, until today, Chew was killing us.
Do you take Roughneck Odor seriously? Because I know he's good. He's got like back-to-back 30 home runs. But that leg kick and like swing, I can't take him seriously.
Well, no, it's funny, man. So I like to think I'm pretty up on the sports world. Odor had fallen off. He like earlier this year, he hit 203 in May, 259. He hit 240 in April, 203 in May, and I just heard there was like a huge hole in his swing, and that like he went from this young stud for them to now he had a hole in his swing. Like he couldn't, his OBP last season was down to 296. Or excuse me, 252 OBP last season, 204 average last year, played in every game. So he was supposed to be like a young star for them, and now it looked like he had fallen into a hole, but this year he's kind of found it again. He's 24, so like good for you, dude. I don't hate him. I can see why some people could like him or dislike him easily.
I don't hate him. I can't take him seriously when he kicks his leg in the middle of the strike zone before he swings.
The thing that's funny for me is they're a team that likes to have fun. Like, even old man Beltre.
Well, you got to like Beltre.
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things. Like, you guys are playing pretty bad. And, like, I mean, Andrews has been there for a while through some winning times. And I don't know. It's just kind of a weird atmosphere for me. Like, seems like these guys are having a blast, but also, like, getting their asses handed to them. Which I think if I was a Rangers fan, that would bother me a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right. Were there any questionable decisions managing in this game? Put Sonny in and try to get him to get the end of the game, and Sonny sucks. They rode Holder to a 44 pitches, I think. We'll see how they respond. I think he's going to need 2 days off, like minimum. Can't do a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was any tough calls or bad calls. Hard to have bad calls when you're up 7-6-0.
No, dude. CC, man. Look, you talk about a stat line. 6 innings pitch, 1 hit. I think he had 3 walks, 7 Ks.
And Didi with a fantastic defense. Did you listen to this John Sterling call? He was just talking about how the numbers and defensive range like kind of lie, and that Didi's much better than the numbers are. And then Didi made that play, so he was like double as excited as he would have been.
Sterling's incredible, man.
He dropped the line like, Didi proves me right, which is very hard to do.
And the pitch is grounded deep in the hole. Didi feels to his feet, throws, got him. Oh, what a play. What a play. Thank you, Didi. You're making me sound good, which is very tough to do.
Yeah, dude, his self-deprecating stuff has been getting me lately. I listened to the end of Saturday's game. So my dog, when he has to go to the bathroom, he lets out a couple like serious barks in my face. Like it's very clear like when he's ready to go. So bottom nine, Chapman's in, couple runners on, and he gives me the bark, and I'm like, dude, like come on, like you gotta know what's going on in the game, Noodle. He doesn't. He's a dog. So I was fighting it for a little bit, and I was like, oh, like Chapman, let's, you know, give me a double play, give me something, let's get through this. And then the dog was giving me the like, no, bro, we got to go. So I was like, all right, Sterling time radio, which ended up being fantastic. And cut to me in the dog park giving like a big fist pump when Chapman struck out Profar to end the game, which also led to me having a great commercial idea, whether it's for like us one day or ESPN or something, but just pictured like people in all different circumstances. Like you've got someone at the game, you've got someone in their dog run, you've got someone doing something random, and they're all listening and like watching, and like they all have the same reaction, but they're, you know, in very different circumstances, and it's like for love of the game or something like that.
I feel like that has to have been done already.
Like not like fully, I don't think so.
I don't know. But speaking of dogs, my dog, Zimmer, is getting old.
Right.
And since you told your dog barks talking in your face dogs. To the bathroom.
Yeah.
Zimmer's getting too old, man. And like the other day, he eats, he plays, I take him out. he forgot to go to the bathroom or just couldn't or something. So I take him back in. I sit down, and all of a sudden, he stands up and, like, his I'm shitting my pants squat right now and is trying to get to the door because he, like, knows he's supposed to be outside and can't. And it's just, like, this display of patheticness that I don't want to watch. And I'm like, dude, just shit in the kitchen and we'll fix it later. But don't put your, like, patheticness in front of me because now I feel bad for you. So that's my dog, Don Zimmer.
Talking dogs, man.
Dogs.
Good dog podcast.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to awards. If you're a new listener, awards are brought to you by affordablejerseys.com. Your one-stop shop for Yankees jerseys with no names on the back. Less than $100. Buy it for you. Buy it for your wife. Buy it for your son. Buy it for your grandpa. Buy it for your dog. That would be interesting. Mm. They got no names on the back like the players on the field. Majestic. Cool base from a warehouse in Pennsylvania. Awards, Jake. It's Sunday, the Lord's Day, which means it's my day. I get to go first. The first award we give out is Pride of the Yankees.
Pride of the Yankees.
Pride of the Yankees.
Pride of the Yankees.
Yeah. And my Pride of the Yankees is going to Giancarlo Stanton.
Good.
4 games, 3 home runs. I don't know. I don't know. What was his final stats? It was 5 for 14, 357 average, 471 on base percentage with 5 runs scored, 3 RBIs, 3 walks, 3 home runs. In his last 5 games, he has 5 home runs, I believe. That's pretty good. That can't be true. He had to have a double home run there at one point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In his last 6 games, he has 5 home runs. He's in that hot stretch that everyone... Yeah. That everyone knew was coming, and we were like just desperate. Like, I really hope it's coming.
Everyone hoped was coming. Not everyone knew. Everyone hoped.
Hope, but it was more like there was reason to believe. It's not like Neil, where like
right.
you're really praying and hoping it's going to come. There's like reason to believe it was going to come, and now it's here. And he looks locked in. He's mean as hell. Looks on fire. And in a time when Judge gone and Gary. Having a bad season and Gary gone and we need someone and he's stepping up. He's stepping up. I kind of don't like that. I don't think his play has anything to do with who's not here. It just has to do with Stanton being very good beast of a baseball
player. That's where I was going to go. I was going to go a little sports radio. Do you think any of his comfort is around the fact that like he is the dude right now?
No.
Do you think not even a touch?
No, I think if Judge was here and Gary was here and other people were raking, I think he'd be doing the same thing. I think he just needed to get locked in. He historically like is better in the second half in August, right? So it seems more to play to that mold than anything else.
Yeah, dude, this guy has been special for a little while now. And I think like everyone saw last year and was like, okay, yeah, he was healthy. He did it for the Marlins. No one cared. He had a couple nut job months like – you know, again, show us. By the way, he already has the same amount of home runs in August that he had in July and April, which is kind of insane. But, dude, you take out the injury from this guy, and he's been a stud. So that's where you have to be super careful with the hamstring stuff. But I think, yeah, he's got his weird batting stance figured out. And when he's got the connect the dots, like, in his head, because that's what he does. He takes bat. to the ball on a direct chopping wood plane that like must make Paul O'Neill's heart go through his chest. And when it connects, it's incredible. And we saw that home run on the Saturday game that you got the CC gif. It looked like he clobbered, but apparently it was end of the bat or he just missed it or whatever. So it snuck out at 387 feet or whatever it was. But, yeah, man, he looks special. I do think there's just like a little, I don't think it's an actual thing, but I think him being the man on the Yankees right now, I think that speaks to like who Giancarlo is as a person just a little bit, you know?
Maybe. I think, I don't know, I think that kind of like, I don't want to say discredits because it's definitely still a compliment that he's stepping up.
Right.
But I think he's doing this regardless, and this is just who he is, no matter what the peripherals are.
Yeah. He, whew. he gave us 2-1-0 leads this series.
All right, you're up. Who's your pride of the Yankees this series?
My pride of the Yankees. I've got a couple options. What am I going to go with, Jim?
There's a really interesting, tricky guy.
I was going to say cop out, but I don't think I'm going to do that. No, man, I'm going to throw it to Didi, dude. Didi had a series. He ended up hitting 400, 471 OBP, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 RBIs, 2 walks. He's what? The solid lefty for us, like, throughout our lineup, with everyone hating Greg Bird and Gardy's moving up and down the lineup and getting benched and all that jazz. And, dude, the defense. I'm really interested to see where things land year end, because he's in Gold Glove contention. I know people love Andrelton Simmons. Sometimes Gold Glove becomes a just kind of like a we respect your defense award, like kind of Alex Gordon, Brett Gardner last year.
Yep.
But, dude, Didi, do you love me, man?
I was going to give him a regular award, so you just stole that from me.
That's fine.
But he has, it's excluding today, but in August, he's got a 300 batting average, 391 on OBP, and got to have over 900 OPS right now. He's been good besides the 1 month. It's like a Chase Headley from last year, but the other months are better than what Chase was giving you, but one completely dead month from Didi. But he's been pretty consistent and good. The defense was great today. And all right, good. That's fine. You can give it to Didi. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think we end up overlooking Didi. I don't know why, if it is the big guys on the team, but he's on pace to be, 270, 30 home runs with in contention as a Gold Glove shortstop. And he's like, for a lineup that gets shook up too much, he's the guy that's in there the most, it feels like.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely plays the most, I think.
Yeah.
It was him and Judge, and now Judge got hurt.
I'll confirm that. But, yeah. So there's some Didi love.
All right. Next award is the Yankee motherfucker.
You Yankee motherfucker.
I think there's some easy options this series for this award. I think this is kind of a cop out for me, because it's easy, and then it's easy to pad up and make a little better. So I'm giving my motherfucker to Masahiro Tanaka.
Yeah.
Only starting pitcher to shit the bed in a long line of starts. Like, the last 7 games, only one starting pitcher has really blown the game for us, and it's been Tanaka. But I'm not that upset with him. This is the first time he gave up more than 4 runs since April 17th. Tanaka, he was decent for a long time. Then in July, he was absolutely phenomenal. Then he had a decent, he was the only good start versus the Red Sox. So Tanaka built up a good amount of cushion to allow him this one stinker of a game, but it still was a stinker and the only loss we've had, and he dug a super big hole. I feel like Texas always hits Tanaka well, besides one time when he got matched up with Darvish. So Tanaka gets the motherfucker, but man, that really is, he's been pretty good this year. Not Cy Young ace who we want him to be or he was in the past, but he's been pretty consistent this year at not blowing the game for the team. And it was, you know how the months work, May, June, July, August, came up to this till we had a stinker. So Tanaka's motherfucker, but I padded it with law compliments.
Yeah, he hadn't lost in, what, 13 starts or something like that?
And yeah. He'd been pretty consistent. But you know, he needs to rebound nicely, and I'm sure he will, and then on to the next.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but you forget that covers like 3 months of baseball. So, yeah, you can kind of have a bad start. Tank.
So who's your motherfucker?
I'm glad you picked Tanaka, because I'm going to go with Glaber, man.
Ooh, and I didn't know if you were going to go Britton or Glaber.
No, man.
This is 2 weeks in a row for Glaber to get motherfucker.
Yeah, and just think about that. Think of our knight in shining armor, the 21-year-old all-star stud. And, I mean, it's clear that he's lost a little lead out of his pencil. He doesn't have that kind of young energy right now. It looks like the slumping is getting to him a little bit. It might be fatigue. I mean, this has to be the most baseball games he's kind of played, and he missed a lot of last year due to injury. I mean, it could also this is always the funny thing with baseball. This is a hard game. Like, he could just be kind of playing bad, but then you start looking for excuses. Wasn't that the Boone quote? Like, Boone's like, yeah, we checked him out physically every way we can. He's not actually hurt. He's just not playing good right now.
Yeah. Everyone likes to look for excuses. Oh, he can't hit lower in the lineup. Oh, he can't do this. No, I mean, he's just playing bad. He's young. It's his first year. We knew he was going to go through a slump. And I think earlier in the season, we kept saying, everyone, the whole thing was like, our young guys are carrying us. And we kept saying, well, there's going to be a point where they're not, and we need, and now Giancarlo and Didi are carrying us, and Andujar are still carrying us. He's fucking awesome. And Gleyber's struggling now. Since the injury, he's around 175 batting average, 294 OBP, 351 slugging, 3 home runs, 2 came in that Orioles game. The defense, we haven't seen a mishap in a while, though. So in the last two series since the Red Sox, I don't think we've seen that lazy, bad attitude we saw in Boston and Baltimore, which was actually more upsetting than the bad play. Now it just seems like he's just not hitting.
Yeah, and I mean, I said this last week, but I think this is like the first time this kid's run into adversity in his life. Like, he's slumping. He was kind of the star of the Yankees for a little bit. He was a top prospect. All-star game. Now, again, now he's in a slump, and we just said Andujar sprinting for Rookie of the Year. Like, now you're not even the top rookie on the team. Are you going to get benched for a game or two to clear your head for someone like Neil Walker? And then does that send him down a spiral, or does that clear his head? I don't know. I mean, it's a 21-year-old running into adversity for the first time.
Yeah, true. I think that's a fine. I thought Britton was going to get one this week, but pin it on Gleyber.
Dodged a bullet.
He can impact the game more. Well, that's an interesting thought process. I don't know. All right, next up, regular old awards. I get to go first. You took my Didi one, so I'm going to have to spin this one real
quick.
What
was the Didi one going to be?
I didn't have a name for it yet.
Okay, you're an idiot. Keep going.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the should have been pride, but award.
Okay. Which is just a huge insult at me. Basically. Yeah.
No, but no, I think.
No,
I think,
yeah.
No, because I didn't give him pride either.
Right. But so, I went second.
No, but even if you didn't use him, I wasn't going to give him pride.
Okay.
He wasn't in my top two.
Okay.
It's Andujar.
It is Andujar.
I mean, offensively, Andujar had 6 hits and 6 RBIs, the go-ahead 2-run homer in the 8th inning or whatever that was, 7th inning, to take the lead right after we had lost the lead and were looking for desperate times. Andujar is one of our most consistent bats, dude. Just swings a big stick. But the defense is plummeting fast. Like, for a long time, it was like, I thought they said this guy was bad. He doesn't seem that bad. He's pretty acceptable at third. And all that talk about him not being ready defensively, we kind of kept looking for it and like, no, like the ball, the analytics say he's not that great, but the eye test, he's kind of passing. He's not excelling, but it's acceptable. This last little stretch, it's been kind of unwinding. He had 2 errors on Sunday, and he almost had a third. He did have one nice play, if you want to counteract that. Someone had a good tweet. If Giancarlo Stanton had a good hamstring, I think we'd be seeing Neil Walker at third and Andujar at DHing. He's kind of excelled at DH. Now, the top response you get is, well, he's young, and he's going to learn. Like, of course. But we're talking about him as a young player. We're not talking about future Andujar. Future Andujar will probably say, man, he's been great. He excelled. So he's definitely got to improve, and he can improve. I don't know if he'll ever be a great defender. He really lets the ball play him. As much as he attacks the ball with his bat, he gets attacked by the ball on defense.
Which which hasn't hurt him going glove side. Like, if he's making plays towards Didi, his that almost helps his sidearm throwing angle because he's kind of got his body going that way. But you're right. Anything to his backhand. And so, well, A, let me touch on an important thing. Did you see the shot Tiger just hit?
No, I turned it off because I didn't want to be distracted.
Oh, my God. Well, you're an idiot. Tiger just stuck one within like 6 inches, and he had an angry reaction. So he's just winning back the world one shot at a time. But I've actually got some like scouting baseball stuff on the Andujar defense.
Oh, wow. What scout did you talk to?
Myself, which is the scary part. So
and
I don't.
And people turned off their headphones.
Tough to say what's actually real, but we've seen Andujar trying to come over the top. And I said this, we said this with the Boston game. Like, you saw him field it and think, like, oh boy, I've been working on throwing over the top. Like, I'm trying, this is the final out in the Boston series. If I do one of my sidearm throws and it goes away, the coaches are going to slaughter me. Everyone's going to slaughter me. So he did it. He had the ground ball today that he, same thing. It was to his backhand. He tried coming over the top, took Voit off the bag. Then he made a great play later that inning where the ball took him into foul territory, but it was the same thing. But he had to throw over the top, and he like didn't have to think about it. And right now I think he's in that phase where if he's got to think about the throw, it's going to be questionable. If he doesn't, he's good because he has the talent, man. He really does. He can pick it, and he can throw it really well. I think it's going to be really interesting in the next couple months to see if he fully commits to the over the top and says, I'm doing this until this is natural, or if he has a couple more over the top throws, is he just going to bail and say, I'm slinging it. I'm sidearm slinging it.
We'll see. We'll see how much playing time gets divvied up and all that going forward. Because it was a rough game for him on Sunday. Defensively, offensively, he's fucking awesome nut job up there slapping everything. No complaints at all. Like, even you want to say, well, I hope he takes walks more in the future. I think you can still say that, but it can't be a complaint. Just like in the future, it'd be nice if he took some more walks, had a little bit of better eye. There's no complaints offensively about Andujar. And he needs to be in the game every single game. His bat needs to be in there. He's one of our top contributors right now. And consistently.
Batting 293. I mean, he's close to 300. We didn't expect that from Miguel Andujar. Like you said, the OBP isn't there, but, and hey man, circling back on the games played. So Didi's played 110, Giancarlo's in the lead with 115, but he's been DHing a lot. So that's where I was kind of giving Didi the defensive love. Dude, our third most games played is Miguel Andujar, which coming into the year, we thought he might not see the major league field. We thought Drury was going to be our starting third baseman. So, I mean, just think about that. And like, this was my other big tweet from the weekend was, you know, a year later, we saw last year's Yankees team, and we were so excited. Like, yes, Judge, Gary, Seve, we've got a lot of young guys. The Yankees are set up to compete again. This is awesome. And then since the All-Star break, we've been getting carried by Giancarlo, Andujar, and Neil Walker. Like, that's crazy. That's the Washington Nationals not being a great team this year. That's us yelling at the Mets for not actually rebuilding. That's baseball, Susan.
Yeah, that's baseball. All right, who's your first award?
My first award. Oh, I think I might go sour because I want to end on a high note.
Okay.
Hey, where's my car keys award?
You're giving my car key award?
Yeah, dude. No, no. I said, where's my car keys?
Oh, probably.
That's the name of the word.
Where do you keep your car keys? I'm a big keep them on the hook guy.
Oh, dude, I lose stuff every day. I've got like three main spots. And then, sometimes you just got to hunt them out.
I used to lose things like so bad. And then I'd get so mad at myself. I'd start punching things like because I got so mad.
Like,
why am I so dumb? I remember we were at family barbecue one time. I lost my phone, and I was, like, freaking out in front of everyone because I was looking for my phone for, like, 2 hours. Like, I can't. So I'm very proactive. I'm a big hook guy. Katie's not been putting the key on the hook, leaving it in her purse. It's driving me insane.
Mm. Yeah, that was one of the maddest I've ever gotten was I lost the remote Because that's my thing. If I lose my keys and I'm at like a park or outside or something like that, I'm like, well, this is in the God's hands now. I'm powerless. If I lose the remote in a 6-foot area, I am just furious with myself.
But you are a big, the remote finds its way in the couch when we were roommates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would always know the remote was in the cushions because you were sitting there last. I don't know how you do it, but you were a big shove the remote in the cushions guy.
It's a skill. I like to keep it close. You never know.
All right. What's your car keys award?
So the where's my car keys goes to my car key. The Yankees bullpen coach.
Why is he getting an award?
Because it's actually a bad thing, Jim. Let me take you back to a year ago. The young Yankees are playing ball, right? We go out at the trade deadline. We get Sonny. We get Todd Frazier. We get Robertson and Canely. Hey, where's that guy, by the way? You know, there's life in the Bronx. We're doing it. We've got this crazy deep bullpen. Where can these young guys take us? When we had a one-run lead going into, like, the fifth or sixth inning last year, how confident were you in our bullpen last year?
Very.
I mean, it just seemed like Chad Green to Robertson, maybe a Canely inning in there, and minus the 3 bad weeks of Chapman. It just seemed if we had that lead, we were the Kansas City Royals from a few years back. Like, our bullpen is awesome. We're going to dominate you. You had your chance to get runs. Now it's over. And I got into a little bit of a good online discussion, because they were saying we're so much better in one-run games this year. That changes, like, year to year. The Orioles teams were a great example of that, like, 2 years ago. Like, they were incredible in one-run games. It's not a direct correlation to the bullpen. I don't know. When we handed off the bullpen, the lead in the Lance Lynn start, it's not the same confidence. Like, I don't know if it was just, like, that Chad Green swag energy last year and Robertson coming in hot or whatever it was, because it's not like the bullpen's been doing a bad job necessarily. But it just rarely seems like 3 or 4 guys put together a good bullpen set on a night, when last year it felt like happenstance. You know what I'm saying? Is that harsh?
We've had times where the bullpen's been great. Like April, they struggled. Then I think June, July, they were great. But you're right. We're going through a rough stretch right now. But I got to think that this will unwrinkle itself and the bullpen's going to be dominant down the stretch. And I think they got to figure out – I think they got to ease Britton in. I think Boone's got to put him in a little less of big situations and
they came
let him
in
find
hot.
The plate, because he's going through something with his command right now. But Tances have been great. I don't know about Chapman, but he's getting it done, but it's scary. But, yeah, I mean, how much does Mike Karki actually do? I get it. It was a fun way to present the bullpen thing.
Right. Well, dude, we gave him a lot of love earlier this year because the bullpen was doing so great. So I just wanted to spin it that way. But, yeah, man, it's tough for 4 bullpen guys to be sharp on the same night. And I think we're seeing that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. The less people you depend on, the better.
Right. So I don't know. I just – last year it just seemed so mentally in tune, like – if we got that one run lead in the fifth or the sixth, like, you did a fist pump, like, yes, we are in charge. And right now it didn't feel like that, and Britton ended up proving me right in a wrong way on Saturday.
Yeah. All right.
So
I was gonna give Britton, I thought he deserved motherfucker, but we'll just move on, and that you just kinda covered him. So I'm gonna pivot to another award. A lot of pivoting out of me.
Pivot.
I feel like Ross. Pivot. Okay, well, you know, this one has actually been requested, so I'm just going to throw it out there. It's a recurring award in sort, and it's the Hey Jake, How Do Those Bullets Taste, You Bitch Award.
What was that award?
It's Hey Jake, How Do Those Bullets Taste, You Bitch.
Okay.
You remember when you got this last time? Or you didn't get it. You would never win this award.
I would never win this award.
Goes to Aaron Hicks, because guess what? Aaron Hicks didn't play a game, and guess who was saying, play that guy?
Me.
Dumb idiot called Statboy Jake.
Okay. That's not a nickname.
Statboy Jake?
No.
I've been seeing that. I've been seeing it all over. Our I've Instagram been seeing that. Listeners, I've been seeing they're that. Just, you know, they're big into the Stat Boy Jake.
A lot
nickname.
Of Stat Boy Jake.
Hicks, another big two RBIs in Sunday's game, a home run on Thursday's game. He's coming up big. Like, I don't actually think his numbers of late are that great. I don't know. I have a feeling they're not, but he's actually coming through in clutch situations. And in the grander scheme, not just the series, Judge is out. Stan's got hamstrings. Jacoby's not playing. Gardner is still doing Gardner things because he's constant. He's actually in a rough slide, but he's still playing every day and, like, contributing. If Hicks was doing what we were worried about and not having even an average season, he's having a above-average season. But I think you have to respect his consistency and what he's doing for the team, and you are his biggest adversary, and you're like Rita, and he's the Power Rangers, and why don't you go eat a handful of bullets?
I've been giving him nothing but love lately. hey, this was my early spiel to start this show. If we had Judge, Gary, Stanton being our three best guys, you can sub the guys out around them. You give those guys a rest once a week, something like that, once every other week. Hicks is one of our three best players right now, and you kind of have to play him. That's why, I mean, I was just shocked he wasn't in there, especially with Disco Neal getting his first start in right field. You're not going to have our best defensive center field option out there to help him. But yeah, man, he's been great. I think
go sour because Walker missed a ball that Judge would have caught, and then tough play for Walker, but Judge makes that play.
I mean, it depends where they set up, but yeah.
Yeah. And then Shane Robinson allows Chu to advance to second, where Chu doesn't even run on Hicks.
No.
So.
No. And that's, again, small things like that. I mean, those start to add up, and I don't know. Hicks has been great. No qualms. Good defensive center fielder. Power. OBP. The stat line he's giving us, if you told me that before the season, would have been absolutely elated with. Man, I think the light bulb moment for, I don't want to say me and him, that sounds
he
way
doesn't
too
know
weird.
Who you are.
No, and he shouldn't. But dude, when he found out he had the power from the right side of the plate to go Oppo Taco in Yankee Stadium, I forget what, I mean, that was like a month or two ago, but dude, he like put one into the bleachers from the right side of the plate, and now he's just looked. We talk about Hicks trying to like outthink the game a little bit, trying to get the walk, trying to guess pitches. I feel like he saw that and was like, yo, if I just kind of do my thing, I think I can ball out. And he has been. So love to Hicks. How about that?
Love to Hicks. All right. What's your last regular old award?
My last regular old award. I might do another, I won't say another cop out. How about the boss award?
Steinbrenner or Bruce?
Close. Both. This is the old Steinbrenner Bruce award I've been waiting to give out.
Okay.
No, man, it goes to Brian Cashman.
Oh.
You heard of him?
No, I had this lined up.
Well, you're an idiot. You're a human idiot.
I know. I'm glad you said it because it's a good way to combo.
I know, but why are you talking at all?
Because I want to steal it from you.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. So let's get the Zach Britton part out of the way. Obviously, didn't look great where he didn't look great, but he should figure it out. He's in a reliever. He's finding out his role on this team. He's got the experience. Dude, Jay Happ and Lance Lynn are now what? Are they 4-0 for us since we've gotten those guys?
Yep.
And I mean, I've been kind of slapping Hap on the ass. Ooh, how about that? Because Lance Lynn has been getting so much love because of his machissimo and cup grabbing and all that stuff on the mound.
And Hap kind of creeps me out.
Yeah, and I get that. But yeah, man, I mean, these guys. These guys, And who would be starting these games? Sonny Gray and...
Sessa, Herman. Oh, Herman.
So just think about that. Again, we didn't have to give up much. We've had to give Luke Voit a couple at bats, if that's really digging at you. But yeah, I mean, how confident are you in these guys right now? Lance had to, he was struggling through innings, but he ended up 5 innings, 1 earned run, which we'll take that all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, these guys are going to be good for us.
They're stable and they feel like they know what they're doing out there. Where Domingo, Sessa, it was like, okay, every inning you were like, make it through this inning. Make it through this inning.
Yeah.
Okay, next inning, make it through this inning. Where Lynn and Hap, it feels more like they're veterans. They know what they're doing. They have a game plan. They're much more stable. They so far, it doesn't feel like, okay, one thing went bad. Like when Hap gave up that home run, it wasn't like, oh shit, it's all going to unravel, which that's what we would have felt like with Herman and Sessa.
Right? That I just relived that Lance Lynn start with Domingo Herman on the mound, and I don't think he gets through 3 innings.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a roundabout way of good job on those moves, Cashman. The fact that Drury got traded with a broken hand is pretty funny.
Yeah. Were anyone saying the Yankees were, like, slimy for that on the internet? I don't know. I'm asking sincerely.
Not real. I didn't see any real people.
But
because, like, Toronto checked him out, too. Maybe they didn't because... I mean, just do it like an x-ray.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Lance Lynn is now up to 16.2 innings, 0.54 ERA. Hap is 12 innings, 3 ERA.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. I mean, that's huge.
Yep. And Sonny coming out of the bullpen and doing bad. So that's back to neutralized on Sonny. Dellen got one out and then came back and did another 3 outs and looked just as strong. So if you want to count that as 2 innings pitched, or it was 1 plus, looked good. The balk was shitty and funny, but that's about it. We do have tomorrow or today, Monday, we have Luis Severino versus Jacob deGrom, a 1 game versus the Mets.
Right.
Now, how we handled this as a podcast last time, Jake, is we did when we just had 1 game series or whatever. So we're going to do the same thing again, which is Patreon only, 30 nice. Minutes, quick talk, because we would not put another episode on the podcast app and kind of flood that for just 1 game. So if you want to hear our thoughts on this 1 game set versus the Mets and Severino, go to Patreon, $2 a month, and you can watch live and listen to that and all that. And then after that, we have Tampa Bay Rays coming to the stadium for a 3-game set, and no one knows the probables yet because the Yankees can do some fun stuff with their rotation. And I mean, it should be in the Tampa, it should be Hap, Tanaka, Lance Lynn, but we'll see. Versus Rays have all those bullpen arms, and like they have no starters now because they traded Archer, right? Oh,
well,
Snell's back.
Yeah, so that's kind of what. If we'll talk about future stuff, big start. Hey, we got Severino against another bad offense again. So if we could get him fully rolling to be Severino again, whether it's just being the Mets or finding his arm slot or whatever it was, that would be great. Dude, this is a big Mets game, and I don't want to sound sports talk radio.
There's no thing as a big Mets game right now.
No, dude, I'll tell you why. Because dude, the final game of the Rays series is against Snell, so. Dude, two of our next 4 games are against DeGrom and Snell.
Okay. You meant this is a big game against the Mets.
Yes.
I thought you meant like this is a big Mets game, like for the Mets. This is a big game for them.
No, man.
That's why I said there's no such thing. Yeah.
Right, and that's a bad brain on you. But, dude, yeah, 4 of our next games are against 2 of the top, 8 starting pitchers in the MLB this year?
Well, I hope Shane Robinson's ready.
I mean, I don't know. The Mets at home.
You got to start Neil Walker in right, Andujar at third, Hicks in center, Guardy at left, right? You have to. Versus DeGrom and Snell?
We'll see, man. I'm not saying anything lineup-wise anymore just because I don't know.
Walker can play right field, you have to use Walker's bat over Shane Robinson's.
And the bigger thing is, I think if you're going to get Neil Walker semi-comfortable in right field, it's going to be at Yankee Stadium, where it's a small right field. He can figure it out. Like, I don't – next, again, Red
That's
Sox
what I'm saying.
Series.
All these games are versus the Yankees, so or at Yankee Stadium, so put Neil in right.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. It hasn't – I don't think it's hurt them having Neil in right at all. You wanted him to come up with that first place. So
it would have been such a party if we got Disco Neil catching that ball in right field, making a diving catch on his first play. No, I mean, I'm not going to worry about the lineup because whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But if I were to say anything, I would say you got to put Neil Walker in right, Hicks in center, Guardian left, Andujar at third, Didi at short, Glaber at second, Romine behind the dish, and you can split Voit and Bird if you want, because I know you're going to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you picture Bird not getting the start against Snell, but like that's one of the lefties Greg Bird shouldn't be starting against. Like, that's fine. Give him a Sale game off. Give him a Snell game off. That's
but he's still
cool.
Bird still has better numbers versus lefties and righties, so whatever.
Right, and it's the bullpen gets used so much these days that it's like, really, guys? Like, what are we doing here? But yeah, hey, you win the DeGrom game, you get a lot taken off your shoulders when that Snell game rolls up. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. All right, that's the end of this podcast. Yankees are winning games they need to win and should be winning, but they're winning them, so celebrate it nonetheless. I hate the people that are like, oh, I can't celebrate it, we should be winning. No, you know what? Just celebrate wins, enjoy a good time, and go Yankees, go Yankees, go Yankees. Tell them, Grandma.
Go Yankees.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.